Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Hammy, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 319 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week's our Valentine's Day special. So what better way to get in the mood for Valentine's Day than talking a little sex tape with Chris Bozen and Nate Epler? And we'll get into that discussion right after these brief messages. Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hi, I am someone you will probably never meet. Yet I ask you to take time
to think about people you don't know but need your help. Children, some of them, and they don't all play, in the gutter, of course.
Well, maybe if it's called for.
These men, women, and yes, even the children are professional actors. They want and need your time, money, and support.
For just pennies a second, you can enjoy the fruits of their labor. Make sure they know you heard about them on the Inexplicable Dumb Show. They may look at you funny, but that doesn't matter. It's for the children.
It's for the children.
It's time once again for some deep fried theater.
All right, IDSers, I'm joined by playwright Nate Epler and Christopher Bozen, Playhouse Nashville. And welcome, guys. How you been?
Doing good. Thank you for having us.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're welcome. We've talked about kind of the various iterations, or I have, of your project as it's moved along here. So let's give a little history. How did you guys decide to do this kind of thing?
Two years ago, Nate had a play, Long Way Down, that did really well. Three-piece productions produced. And while they were doing that play, we didn't want to be dark. You know, like kind of a never dark approach. Right. And so Nate had the idea for the 10-Minute Playhouse. And that was 2 years ago.
Yeah. People's Branch Theater had just recently become defunct at that time. They had just recently gone into, they lost their artistic director and decided to shutter for a period of time. And before that, each year they had done a 10-minute play festival where local playwrights would write 10-minute plays and then get volunteer actors to produce them. And so when they were talking about shuttering the theater, I was in a conversation with the AD about kind of absorbing the 10-minute. The 10-minute play festival that they were attempting to keep it alive.
Mm-hmm.
When we found out we weren't able to do that, I brought the idea to Johnny to start their own, you know. And it just happened to fit inside his schedule. He wanted to, you know, like Chris was saying, never be dark. And they were only running shows Wednesday through Sunday at the time. So we had this Monday and Tuesday night that we'd already paid for, and my suggestion was, well, let's bring a whole bunch of playwrights in here, you know,
right,
and see how these plays go. It was great. I mean, in all sincerity, it was a like huge success right from the get-go.
Yeah, we did too many plays. We did 18 plays
the
first
night.
We did nine plays the first night, nine the second night, but we had a great attendance, and so after that first one, we honed it a little bit. About 6 months later, we did it again with just 12 plays, and we've done it four times now. Over 50 playwrights have been represented. I mean, it's pretty amazing.
So what is it about, for you guys, what's the draw of bringing in all these different playwrights and letting their work be shown? I mean...
Well, that's a good... Well, I think it was twofold for me. First and foremost, I think that elevating the voices of any local artist is totally valuable, you know? It's not enough to just bring in plays from outside of Nashville and produce them in Nashville. I think that although there's a very good argument to be made that any community is really well known by what they export as opposed to what they import, even more than that, a community is well served by having a conversation with itself, you know? Theater's the kind of thing that's It's a kind of a boundary object in the sense that everybody in the room sees the same thing. They don't have to have consensus about it, but they can all talk about it in the same way. Mm. So to see a play that's like built in Nashville and then have its like, you know, first reading or production in Nashville, that really generates a fantastic conversation inside the audience about it. So, I mean, partly it's that. And then, you know, secondly, I think that this is a great way to engage artists and audiences. You know, I think that new audiences are very interested in being participants as opposed to just passive viewers. And so giving them the opportunity to either put their play on stage or volunteer as an artist that reads the play or have the opportunity to sit in the audience and respond to the play all makes them active participants in the event as opposed to, you know, just buying a ticket and sitting down and, you know, say, pander to me. You know,
right.
Like they
right.
really actually get to be engaged. So, I mean, those are, you know, there's a lot of other, I mean, I also really just like new plays, but like those reasons are, I mean, really core to me.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I started to really discover new plays, and I know you're a fan of the plays, when I was at Actors Theatre of Louisville in 96, 97, and of course they had the Humana Festival, and to be around that, at that time, I know it's evolved a little bit over the years, but at that time it was still very much devoted to bringing the playwright into the room with mm-hmm. the director, with the actors, and serving the playwright's interests, you know, in first productions by putting the talent of set designers, costume designers, lighting designers in first productions to the service of the playwright's vision, even if it was under a different director. And those experiences, I think, are what we try to recreate on a smaller level with the 10-Minute Playhouse, and that is to put the playwrights in that brief rehearsal period with the director and with some actors so that they can refine the script if necessary, see what works, what doesn't work, improve themselves as an artist,
right.
And still get the play out there. And so from the 10-Minute Playhouse, where we do that in a reading format over the course of one weekend, that evolved to Playhouse Nashville, where we decided to go the next step, and now let's do a full production and do a season of new plays, fully realized, set, costume, lighting, for a two-week run, 10 or 12 performances, of brand new material. And so, you know, that's what we're going to do. And it's we're excited about it. And we're for me, individually, personally, and I've said before, when I go to see a new work, when I experience a new play or have first contact with a play, even if it's an older play, that first contact is always the most exciting to me.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the most memorable. I remember when I saw Beauty Queen of Lenin on Broadway. I remember when I saw August Osage County on Broadway. Those first-time experiences, you can't ever replicate. Well, yeah. With new plays, you're going to get a first-time experience.
Right.
You know, and that's right. The thing. So something about, you know, it's going to be a memorable experience. And you know, I hope people will come out and... People that aren't necessarily always going to theater, I think this show in particular that we're doing, Nate's play coming up, Sex Tape, is a great opportunity to experience something new.
Oh, definitely.
And I think, I mean, it's speaking of the first experiences, but you brought up Actors Theater of Louisville. I saw a play there that was later done in another theater in a different city, a different actors. And boy, you kind of latch onto that first experience. You know, and I'm sitting there telling everybody, like, oh my God, this is a great play. This is funny. It's right. Hysterical. They do this, they do that. Oh, it's going to be great. And we get to this other place, and none of the stuff that I thought was really great or anything in there was there. You know, and I'm like, oh, well, that's kind of.
Yeah. And this is what we talk about.
I'll be in
about.
The car, you know.
We talk about that a lot at the Playhouse because one thing we try to communicate to the playwrights as they develop is, and I think that's what happens, is that actors, that playwright is there. The director, the actors have access. What did you intend here? What were you thinking? They have direct access to it. But if it's not on the page, in the script, if it's not communicated, somewhere down the line, that playwright is not going to be there.
Yeah.
And we try to communicate that a lot to the writers. Like, anything that's pertinent to you, that you need in that production, it's got to be
on the page. Yeah.
Right.
It's something that I teach in my classes again and again, and something that I think I'm very focused on as an artist. And that's, you know, we're having a conversation, right? I mean, like, I write a play and you come and see it. I am talking directly to you. But later on, at some point, if the play is successful, my play has to be muscular enough that it can do it without me holding the play's hand. You know
right,
what I mean?
Sure.
And this is one of the cool things I think about what Playhouse Nashville is really doing here, is this idea that Chris is talking about, that the development piece of it is just as important as the production, right? Mm-hmm. The 10-minute Playhouse plays are not presented in a full production. They are presented as readings to this purpose, so that you can see your play in front of an audience and hear what the audience, excuse me, what the audience is receiving from the play, right? Their end of that conversation. And then the next step of that, which we're thrilled to finally get into this year, is the production level, right? Mm-hmm. So this year you'll see two plays that have gone through these types of readings, these types of development opportunities, and actually see a full production of it. Some of the plays, you know, Sex Tape's kind of an anthology of several different plays, and two of those plays were developed as part of the 10-minute Playhouse.
Wow. Now, I remember, because I don't classify myself as a writer, but I wrote it. It was more of a personal challenge when the People's Branch was doing it, and I thought,
right.
Well, I'm going to write one and send it in, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
And just to see if I could do it. And I wrote one and it got in there. And talking about how you see things and then how the audience perceived things, it was kind of interesting.
That's wild.
Because
right?
It's like, I don't know. They were ascribing all these higher end things to these characters I had created. And it was just simply a guy who made a decision by flipping a coin.
Right.
You know, yeah, that's right. All that I had in his mind. He ends up killing a guy at the end of the thing because he flipped a coin and it was... The coin was the,
gotcha.
You know, and they're going, oh, is he God? Oh my God. Was he going to give him, was he salvation? Why was he, death? And I'm like, he just flipped a coin, exactly. You know?
you absolutely learned that these people, you know, like you say, they ascribed intentions or whatever to this character. And I think that, you know, like, were you to continue to work on it, were you to rewrite it, you'd be able to take that stuff into consideration. You know, what can I do to make sure they don't think that he's, you know, he's God or, you know, that it's really just about the coin. And I think that's great, man. I love it.
And we love, you know, that's the other thing too, is that a 10-minute play, the form being 10 pages, it allows first-time writers
right.
to take a shot at it, you know, and the majority of the plays we've produced have not been by repeat writers who we've had in the Playhouse, but by new writers. Every time we do it, yes, we have some who consistently, when we choose the plays, theirs wind up in it, but we always have new people. And I think that's great also. Nate, I think you said at a class one time, everybody has one great play in them.
I believe that.
Yeah. So, you know, take a shot at it.
Yeah. So how does the, we're doing one of yours, Sex Tape, uh-huh. first. And then what's the game plan moving forward? Do you say, are you going to follow a writer's kind of progression and say, for future years or future seasons, I like this guy's 10 minutes, but we're going to maybe try to coerce him into writing or her writing something longer? Or
yeah, well, first of all, it wouldn't even be possible to do this at all if it were not for Street Theater inviting us to be in residence there. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, I certainly don't mean to speak for Kathy, but she was responding to what she already saw as a loyal audience saying to us, we want to see more of this. The audience continues to grow by leaps and bounds for the new plays, and they were asking for more full-length plays, not just more 10-minute playhouses that they could participate in, but these other plays. So I think, and the reason why I mentioned is to answer that question is the audience is watching some of those things as well, which mm-hmm. is very cool. I would not be surprised if we... if one of our future full-length plays was by a playwright that had, you know, participated in the 10-minute Playhouse. But I don't think it's not a requirement, you know? What we're looking for is the best play.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and that also, that's why we haven't, you know, because of Kathy inviting us to be in residence, it gave us the opportunity to schedule our whole year. So we know right. when the next two 10-minute Playhouses are sure. on our website. The next full-length production is there for August. But we wanted to have the flexibility in choosing, but also we wanted to have the audience engagement. It's a big part to us. So our intention, you know, as we sort through scripts and writers for that, is to engage our audience with what they're responding to. And part of that we know from 10-minute Playhouse, if it is a writer yeah. who's been there before, we know how audiences react to their plays. But it's very important to us to have the audience... not just come to see a play, but really feel like they're getting to know the playwright.
Mm-hmm.
So before we do that August script with whoever the playwright is that we choose, we'll probably have an opportunity over an evening for an audience to come in and hear some 10-minute plays by that writer or hear a one act by that writer to really feel like they get familiar
right.
with their work. I think that's what's great about Nate is over the last few years, the productions that he's had of new works, people have gotten to understand him as a writer, which mm-hmm. gives you a better grasp of what you can expect when you come to see
sure.
one of his plays.
Sure.
I think that's important. There's a bit of a known quantity there, and we want to create that for other Nashville riders.
Right. Cool. So are you taking submissions for future? I mean, I know you've kind of got a game plan for August, but...
You know, I think that right now we are a great big open door. You know? And I think there's no other way to go about it. Somebody asked me the other day, they were asking about our mission statement, and I said, we do new plays. But I mean, like, yeah, we phrase it better than that. When it comes right down to it, we do new plays.
Right.
I don't mean to say that other people aren't. There are, and I am really glad there are. What Corey Lamell's doing at the Theater Bug with all new scripts for kids, this is awesome. What Corbin and Jamie are doing out at the Boiler Room with brand new musicals, what the Rep is doing with the Ingram New Works Fest. I mean, these are great. I am so excited. There's so much new stuff going on. And we've got a, you know, kind of graduated system of 10-minute plays and full-length plays now. So, yeah, send us your plays. You know, submissions are open. And I think as we move forward, there'll be things will be more organized. You know, I mean, we'll have more... more levels of engagement, but
sure.
As of right now, it's all on the ground floor. Our approach is, I suppose that sounds haphazard, but it's not that. It's the approach is all of the above. I want to know what works for the Nashville audience. I don't want to exclude any artist's voice, you know?
Right, right.
Well, and we also have been able to be, we think we're pretty nimble. So, for example, at the last 10-minute Playhouse, we introduced we allowed volunteer actors, because it's all volunteers, you want to participate, there's no audition, but we did an online sign up. So you just went online, one of our co-curators set it up, you go online, you put in your availability, put in your name, your email address, you're on the list, and this was all logged for us, you know, via the computer. And so we keep adding steps to it, and I'm sure we'll have an online submission tool for that. But we already get, it's amazing, the theaters in town, a lot of the theaters get submissions of new plays, and they don't do new plays at all.
Right.
They turn them to us. And Kathy's been forwarding them to us. And it's terrific. You know, it's a place for them to go.
Yeah. Because I want, you know, if I move to any city in the United States, the first thing that I would want is a relationship with the theater that does new plays. So this is the reason why it's an open door. And anybody that's writing plays in Nashville, I want to know them. We want to know them, you know?
And I mean, you were talking about long-range goals. You know, I think that, as Playhouse Nashville, we certainly have discussed our long-range goals of being the place in Nashville that is doing new materials. You know, I mean, nationwide, you have the National New Play Network. You have, you know, bigger organizations committed to that and committed to full productions of new material. And I think that that is our interest. You know, that is a long-range goal, but that's certainly something that we've talked about wanting to build towards.
Yeah, and I think there's a definite appetite for it in Nashville. Yeah. The kind of support that we've seen for it. Well, you've been around for it. I mean, it's kind of phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's it can be the Nashville theater community can be spread thin. There's a lot going on. You know, I mean, I don't want to use, you know, the word like fractious or anything, but I mean, it can be like that.
Right.
And to see a huge cross section of all the kind of different you know, theater circles and, you know, professional groups kind of coming together to do new plays. This is all, and very encouraging. Very encouraging.
Yeah.
Okay, well, sex tape. Let's talk about it. Let's get our plug in there.
I don't think about sex tape.
Is that really much to say? Really?
Some I threw together, you know.
That's right. Well, when you have a play called Sex Tape, there are certain expectations that are set, I suppose.
I would say.
This, by the way, is the Valentine's Day episode.
Oh, it's perfect.
Is it? Oh, that's perfect.
That's excellent. Sex Tape, as Nate said, you know, a couple of the pieces, it's an anthology. A couple pieces started in the 10-minute Playhouse. It's a comedy. It's an adult comedy. You know, we have four actors playing a variety of roles.
We have four awesome actors.
We have four awesome actors. I say really four actors. Yeah, I mean, we have Jesse James LeCourrier, who's currently on Cinemax in Alan Ball's new series Banshee, and a recurring role there. He's in it. We have Jack Chambers, who people last fall saw in Boiler Room's Rocky Horror Show, Dr. Scott. And then we have Jennifer Richmond, who was in Long Way Down, one of Nate's plays a couple years ago, works out at the barn a lot, works all over, really. And then we have Megan Murphy Chambers, who I know the first time I saw her was actually in a three-piece production. It was Mixed Nuts.
Oh, yeah.
And I knew as soon as I saw her, this is somebody you want to work with.
Mm-hmm.
And really, this entire cast, we're on that list of, man, who are the people, that actors that you want to work with, either as another actor or as a director in a show?
Yeah, frankly, I'm surprised we got them.
Yeah. So, I mean, that pool right there, I mean, it's
pretty
stunning.
We had a really great, like a really good audition for this show. It was very difficult to come up with this cast. It was cool. And I, like, right from the beginning, it started to feel like we kind of had something sort of special going on. The type of play that it is, that these actors get to play a lot of different characters, is a little bit unusual. I haven't seen a lot of that. Tennessee Women's Theater Project did almost Maine a few years back, and it was kind of like that. But seeing them stretch in these different directions is awesome.
Yeah, and each of the plays, I mean, Sex Tape is the title, and then you have short plays within it, Sex Tape and Other Stories being the full title, but. So you get to see the different combinations. We get to see, you know, Jack and Megan. We get to see Jesse James with Jen. We get to see Jesse James with Megan. We get to see Jesse James with Jen. You know, and so we have a variety of combinations. And I keep saying, you know, why it's good for Valentine's Day and people come to see is, yes, it's sexy. Yes, it's funny. But at its center is its relationship. It's about communication and relationship and what happens when we do communicate well with our partner, whoever that is, and what happens when we don't. And I think that is a hallmark, I'll say, of what I've experienced in seeing Nate's other plays, is that riotously funny. You know, no matter how dark they can be, also very funny, but there's something at the center of them that is so honest and real that you connect to, and that separates. That's what separates Sex Tape from being a sketch show to being a play, and that's what I told the actors at the callbacks and the auditions was: yes, this is funny. Yes, these are extreme situations, but if you find what's at the center of it, the humanity of it, that's what gives it its weight, and that's why you need actors like the four that we put together because it's more than just laughs. It really does. I mean, there are some moments in Sex Tape that I find very emotionally powerful. And that heightens the comedy, I would say.
Thank you. Did you hear what he just said?
Yes.
Yes. Makes me want to go see this play.
And it's recorded now.
You really feel that way?
I really do feel that way. Man. Absolutely. I mean,
this is the right guy to direct this play.
Ladies and gentlemen, we just had a bro hug.
That's right.
So kind, man. No, it's true. You know what, though? It's true. I think that... Like, when it comes right down to it, in all honesty, sometimes it is much easier to talk to, like, a friend of yours or, like, a coworker about sex than it is your partner.
Do you know what I mean? Yeah, right.
Like, sometimes this is just a very difficult conversation. And so, like, all of these plays, regardless of how, you know, like, absurd or carnivalesque or bizarre they get, like, what they really come down to is the way the relationship, you know, the way these people behave with each other, right?
Mm-hmm.
How they talk about it, how they don't talk about it. And we get to see relationships at all levels of, you know, function or dysfunction.
Right. And that's, I mean, it is an adult comedy. I mean, we are saying, you know, no one under 18, admitted. But if you watch...
First NC-17 play in Nashville.
Is it? I don't know.
I don't know what it is. I don't
know.
It may be the first one that admits it.
There's no nudity.
Well, there's suggested nudity.
There's suggested nudity. Well, I didn't write in any nudity, but thus far in rehearsal, Jack Chambers, I mean, like...
Right. Yeah, well,
that's what happens when a director gets a hold of the script,
yeah,
right?
Yes.
I didn't write in any nudity.
No, and it's like Jack can't rehearse with pants on.
Or that spiked collar from the promo photo. I don't know, it's collar. Weird. But we... if you watch an HBO show, Girls, any of these shows out there right now, they use language, and
sure,
this play definitely uses language, and so people, but it uses language, I think, to crack open this idea of shocking a little bit so that you can then connect to it.
Sure.
And so, you know, one of the things we've got, and I think it's going to be great, and we say no nudity, but we do have this special 11 o'clock performance on Saturday.
If you promise nudity.
I'm not promising.
All right, okay.
you never know what happens with audience nudity. That's always
Wow, we have a nudity forecast. It's a 40% chance of toplessness.
Yeah, but now you're coming to the late.
But no, we're doing we have 7:30.
Set up my gear, that's for sure.
We're doing Tuesdays through Sundays, 7:30 shows. And then on Saturday, March 2nd, we've got this 11 o'clock show that was inspired by the success of that Megan had, really, with Boiler Room's Rocky Horror Show. Mm-hmm. Rocky Horror, late night show. If you liked that, I think you'll love Sex Tape. I mean, the humor, the sexiness of it, it is sexy. It is a sexy show. And we're looking forward to that 11 o'clock show. It's the first time, I think, that Street has ever had anything like that in their space, a late night performance. They may have done it before, but, you know, they've had such success with, like, McCabaret, Parallel Lives, things like that. Avenue Q, which Jen was also in.
This is definitely in the vein of that.
Yes. And Jen, you know, if you saw that, Lucy the Slut, yep, and Kate Monster in her, I guess you would say, silly string orgasmic moment.
Yep.
Tyson Lamell. Sure. If you enjoyed that, you need to buy a ticket to Sex Tape.
I would say that's something. I'd say that's fair.
That's, I mean, right?
All
right,
so how do we get tickets then?
How do we get tickets?
Well, first, you can go to our website at www.playhousenashville.com, and you can order tickets through that, or you can make a phone reservation, right?
You can do that. It's the numbers on numbers.
Here's the spot, website. On the spot. I'm sorry to put you guys on the spot.
Look at that. I don't have it memorized yet, but you can do, tickets are available there, and what's great is we're using the same, it's the same ticketing system that Street uses, so mm-hmm. you can actually reserve your own seat there. It's 669-5792.
All right. 669-5792.
But you can go online, playhousenashville.com, click over there to buy tickets, and it'll take you, choose the performance you want. We've got cabaret tables down front. We've got row seating as well. Reserve your seat, $15.
Yeah.
You know, and what's great is you pay that $15, then you take your ticket over to the new restaurant in Nashville, Wienerfest.
Mm-hmm,
right,
mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. And you get 15% off your food bill.
So nice.
In during the run, so you buy a $15 ticket from us. You can go over there and save $15 because we figured Sex Tape and Wienerfest just naturally go together.
One would say hand in hand, right?
That's right. They'll have a specialty cocktail for us over there.
That's right.
They're gonna have a specialty cocktail.
So you can go over and get yourself an Epler. Or is that?
Well, I think it'll be like, I think they were talking like Sex Tape on the Beach, maybe, or something like that. You know, they'll come up with something good. And I was in there for lunch.
It should be the two liquor, the double penny.
Yeah, that's what it needs to be. And I was in there for lunch. It's delicious. Have you been there yet?
No, I have not.
It is Black Forest cake. Speaking of Valentine's Day, I mean, dark chocolate, cherries, ice cold. Oh,
yeah.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. All
right. Yeah, so we open on the February 28th, right?
February 28th.
So we're after Valentine's, but once we get all that love junk out of the way, it's time for sex anyway. So February 28th, right?
February 28th through March 10th, yeah. Yeah, so it's a limited run. And I mean, that's the thing in Nashville, we need to get, you know, we're hoping people will come. Don't wait till the end.
Yeah.
We have limited seating, you know, we got about 90 seats or so in the theater. And it's going to be a different experience. If you've been to Street before, coming to see Sex Tape in Street, you're going to have a completely different audience experience just because we want it to fit the experience of the play. Mm. That's all I'll say about it. But you're going to have a good time.
Yeah.
And you're going to be engaged. There's going to be some things in the lobby to engage you and then the experience of the play itself.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for stopping by.
Thanks so much for having us.
And congratulations on over 300 shows. Now.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are 319. So.
Nice.
Thanks.
Well, thank you for having
us. Uh-huh. Hey, actors. Want to set up a website that is not a Facebook account? Yeah. Use your name as your domain name. Check out DreamHost. It's easy to set up. And because you are a listener of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, you get a special treat. That's right. Go to www.dreamhost.com and enter this special code, IDS, all caps. You will receive two domain names with your web hosting package purchased from DreamHost. But only if you use the promo code IDS. And remember to use all caps on that. Just another way you get buzzed by the Inexplicable Dumb Show. Well, that's it. I'd like to thank Chris Bozen and Nate Epler for stopping by today in Studio 1103 to chat about Playhouse Nashville and their premiere production of Nate's play, Sex Tape. Ticket information that we discussed during the interview will be available to you via the show notes page for this particular episode, and you can find that at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. Hey, you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Please do so by calling 615-866-1282. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter. Inexplicable DS. Inexplicable, capital D, capital S, is the Twitter handle. Find out the latest comings and goings and goings-ons here at the Inexplicable Dumb Show via our Twitter feed. So, hey, next week, who knows what we're going to be talking about, because that's kind of how the Dumb Show rolls. Oh, one more thing. Happy Valentine's Day to all you lovers out there. So until next week, hey, I'll see you. Bye. That's a detergent.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's M-A-G-N-A-T-U-N-E. Magnatune. We are not evil.
This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No E's. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.